From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this hump day, that's right, it is Wednesday, November 30, 2016, and we are so honored you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your Wednesday afternoon. We've got a fire show in store for all of you out there. On today's show, we will, of course, recap what took place last night out in North Carolina as the Duke Blue Devils played host to the Michigan State men's basketball team. I tell you what, Sparty was very competitive last night, folks. A back-and-forth, tick-for-tack battle that eventually led to Duke pulling away in the waning minutes. How did it go down? We'll chat about that, and we'll address whether or not this team can get back on the winning track as, yes, the month that was November, the toughest November in program history, is now said and done in the books, all right? Also, many people are talking about the latest rankings in the college football playoff. The final pre-ranking before this Sunday, really this Sunday, is the only ranking that counts. So we'll talk about whether or not the committee got it right for this week. And we'll try and look into our crystal ball and dive into the playoff committee's minds as to who they think has the upper hand in making the college football playoff. Also, our guest for today's Current Sports is Kristen Rasmussen, Okemos High School, MSU, and WNBA women's basketball player, now new head coach of the Okemos girls basketball team as high school hoops for girls opened up last night. Okemos with an easy win. Okemos is going to be really good this year. Let's just put it that way, all right? So Kristen will join us on our airwaves. And on the back end of the show, we'll have some news that we will discuss concerning a quarterback at Notre Dame who is pondering possibly coming to play for Michigan State. That, as well as a quick update on the Detroit Red Wings and the Detroit Pistons. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Quick hit headliners. The Michigan State men's basketball team dropped to 500 on the year, 4-4, after falling to Duke 78-69 at Cameron Indoor last night. Now, the game was tied at 35 at the half and was a back-and-forth battle in the second until an 11-0 run for the Blue Devils put the game out of reach. Now, Grayson Allen led all scorers. He had a great second half, throwing up 24 points. Aaron Harris led the Spartans with 14 on the night. But MSU was plagued by, yeah, that same old T-word that's been the bugaboo for the team throughout the first eight games of the year. 18 turnovers, folks. Michigan State will look to find their winning ways again on Saturday when they host Oral Roberts. According to Irish Illustrated, Notre Dame quarterback Malik Zaire is expected to ask for his release from the program today so he can pursue a graduate transfer. Of the places on his transfer list is, yes, the Michigan State football team. Zaire, 6 foot, 225 pounds. He has thrown 98 passes in three seasons, completing 58 or 816 yards and 6 TDs. He also has run for 72 yards. He is scheduled to graduate in December and has one season of eligibility left. Other schools on his transfer list include Florida, Pittsburgh, and Wisconsin. So how about that? Mark D'Antonio and Pat Narduzzi both trying to go after Zaire. We'll see what happens in that battle. Two Michigan State defensive players earned all Big Ten honors as the conference announced its defensive all-league selections on Tuesday night. For the second consecutive season, junior defensive lineman Malik McDowell was named second-team all-Big Ten by the coaches and the media, while senior linebacker Riley Bulla was a third-team selection by the coaches and the media. McDowell led the unit this season with 34 tackles, including a team-best 7 for loss. Now, Bulla finished second on the team in tackles for loss in his and his 8.4 tackles per game average, led the Spartans and tied for 8th best in the Big Ten in the regular season. Junior linebacker Chris Fry, senior cornerback Darian Hicks, and junior safety Monte Nicholson were recognized as honorable mentions. U of M's Jabril Peppers took home the most honors last night, winning Defensive Player of the Year, Linebacker of the Year, and Return Specialist of the Year. Peppers, along with his teammates Taco Charlton, Chris Wormley, and Jordan Lewis, were all named All Big Ten First Team. Also want to announce this, folks. This just came through today. The Western Michigan football team dominated the Mid-American Conference this season and cleaned up at the league's postseason honors today. Wide receiver Corey Davis has been named the MAC Offensive Player of the Year, and Darius Phillips, the Special Teams Player of the Year. P.J. Fleck was named Coach of the Year, and quarterback Zach Terrell won the Vern Smith Leadership Award. Pretty cool stuff. Again, the Broncos ranked number 17 in the latest College Football Playoff Top 25. And speaking of the college football rankings, I want to give you some of the top-tier teams, all right? The new set of college football playoff rankings shed light on how the committee feels about teams heading into championship Saturday this weekend. Now, Alabama, number one as expected, followed by Ohio State as expected. Then you have Clemson and Washington coming in at number three and four. Michigan slotted fifth in front of the two teams playing for the Big Ten championship game in Penn State and, of course, Wisconsin. The Detroit Pistons bounced back from a defeat to the Oklahoma City Thunder on Saturday with a road win last night over Michael Jordan's Charlotte Hornets. 112-89, the final of that one. Tobias Harris led all scorers with 24 points, shooting 9 of 12 from the floor on the night. The Pistons have now won 3 of 4 and will look to continue that upward swing when they tip off at 7:30 p.m. in TD Garden tonight against the Boston Celtics. The Detroit Red Wings have picked up points in four straight games after a 3-1 home win over the Dallas Stars last night. Essa Lindell opened up the scoring for Dallas 16 seconds in, and the following 59 minutes were perfection from Peter Mrazek, who made 34 saves on the night. Dylan Larkin got the Wings on level terms on the power play right before the end of the first. Midway through the second, and a power play goal from Anthony Mantha made it 2-1. Former star Steve Ott iced the game with an empty netter late in the third. The Wings will look to make it two straight wins when they host Florida on Thursday. One of the most successful coaches at Hope College and among the all-time greats in Michigan Intercollegiate Athletic Association, Carla Walters, passed away Monday at the age of 65 following a two-year struggle with multiple melanoma. Now, Walters, who taught and coached at Hope for 23 years before retiring in 2010, was a professor of kinesiology, and according to Hope Athletics, coached 1,792 athletic contests, including field hockey, basketball, and tennis. She was best known as Hope's softball coach from 88 to 2010, for which she had a 684-398 record. At the time of her retirement, she was the fifth winningest Division III softball coach of all time. The college's softball stadium even bears her name. Our condolences go out to Carla's family and, of course, Hope College. And last but certainly not least, girls high school basketball. Back at it last night. Four local high schools got its season underway. And a few here. Lansing Waverly defeated Kalamazoo Loy Norix 56-13. Hazlitt defeated Jackson Northwest 52-42. Owosso fell to Ortonville Brandon 36-23. And St. John's topped by Howell 47-36. I also want to mention that Okemos, which is really going to be good this year, Okemos played last night. They defeated Harper Woods Chandler Park Academy 57-28. And again, we will have the head coach of the Okemos girls basketball team, Kristen Rasmussen, on Current Sports later this hour. You do not want to miss that chat. Kristen in her first season as head coach of the Chiefs. That does it for your Current Sports quick hit headliners. Our phone lines are open. You know what to do. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to Facebook.com/Current Sports or even tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin WKAR. So much to get to, so little time, so let's stop wasting it. Let's start the show.
fifth-ranked team of the nation, the Duke Blue Devils, host the Michigan State Spartans. Duke's compacted right now. They need to get spread. This compact floor really helps Michigan State. Kennard off the glass and good, and we're tied again. I mean, Tom Izzo's already said that he's maybe the best passer they've had since Magic Johnson, and looks for Aaron Harris, then Bridges just steps into the middle. That's a really well-designed play. On the offensive glass, Emile Jefferson. They're in a dead heat after 20 minutes here at Cameron in a game that swung back and forth all night long. Jackson into some traffic, lucky to maintain possession. Now Kennard pulls up at the free throw line. 9-0 run Blue Devils. Blue Devils go to 16-2 all time in the ACC Big Ten Challenge as they beat the Spartans 78-69.
And that is how we start this afternoon's Current Sports. Welcome. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, we are so glad you've tuned in here on WKAR AM 870. We've got a ton to talk about. And we start with the Michigan State men's basketball team. All right. Now, we'll get to the college football playoff rankings. I know many of you want to chime in. I was watching the broadcast just like you guys were last night, and it was funny because it was funny watching Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler and the rest of the gang argue about whether or not Michigan deserves to be still in that conversation of making the college football playoff. And it got pretty heated last night. I don't know if you guys saw that. You know, Fowler was drilling the committee member on whether or not, you know, you look at what Penn State has done in comparison to Michigan and Michigan, and he didn't even really harp on the whole Wisconsin dialogue because Wisconsin lost that head-to-head matchup against Michigan. They, you know, lost to Ohio State, so on and so forth. But more so in the conversation of Penn State, and it was a very intriguing conversation. So we'll talk about that in just a second. But you know, I was flipping back and forth last night between a lot of NBA basketball, of course, watching the Detroit Pistons in that win over the Charlotte Hornets. It kind of lined up perfectly because the Pistons played around 7, and then right after they got done, Michigan State and Duke tipped off at 9:30. And that was a fun game. That was a really fun game. You know, I had mentioned on yesterday's show how I thought it was going to be a complete blowout. Duke with a lot of talent. Now, granted, they were missing 3 talented freshies, without a doubt, but that team is still deep. The cupboard is not bare whatsoever. And you saw what Duke was able to do in the waning moments. But throughout the majority of that game, throughout 90% of that game, Michigan State did not go away. And I mentioned how during our quick hit headliners, how Michigan State actually tied that game. It was a tie ball game heading into halftime. And you look at the stats, and you guys heard what I said. I mean, this has been a problem all year for Michigan State. And it's a problem that naturally comes with a young team. Turnovers. It's been a problem. It's been a bugaboo for the Spartans all season. They had 18 turnovers last night, and that directly translated to 19 points for the Duke Blue Devils. As far as Michigan State's players go, Aaron Harris led the way on 6 of 11 shooting from the floor. He was 2 of 4 from three-point land. Again, 14 points. And you look at Miles Bridges. Miles, you know, and this is what comes with youth as well. Miles is such a talented player. You know, we've pumped up Miles a lot here on our airwaves. The thing about Miles Bridges is that he is still a freshman. I think many people are forgetting that because he is so talented. He is so good. But, you know, teams are going to hone in on him, especially the good teams that have the talent to come up with a scheme and have the defenders to slow him down. It's going to be a struggle for Miles Bridges, and it isn't always going to be lights out in the stat sheet. He's so young. Again, an 11-point, 9-rebound, 3-turnover performance for Bridges, 4 of 13 from the floor. And mad props to Duke senior Matt Jones, who played really good defense on Miles Bridges. Very savvy, I must say, from Matt Jones. And it's a very savvy team from top to bottom when it comes to the Duke Blue Devils. Again, Coach K, He's got a talented group. And, you know, the thing that really blew my mind is that in comparison to Michigan State, who play, let's see, what, five, six, eight players last night, you look at Duke. Well, actually, no, looking at this, let's see, five, six, seven, eight, nine, actually 10 players played last night for Michigan State. Duke only played six players total. Six players total throughout that entire game. And talk about efficient minutes. I mean, a very, very efficient team, folks. And again, they're missing three highly touted freshmen, and they were still able to do what they were able to do last night. But, you know, I think Miles put it best in his post-game presser. I was reading an article via Lansing State Journal. Graham Couch put together a great article, and you know, Graham had an interesting take that talked about, hey, basically saying chill. This team is still young. It's so early. Let's not panic here. And, you know, he described the mood in the locker room, how the team would have liked to win at least one of those big marquee matchups against an Arizona, against a Kentucky, against a Duke, so on and so forth. But at the same time, you see the pieces. The pieces are there for this team. And as the young players get more experience, the turnovers will go down, okay? And to be honest, a lot of those turnovers just kind of come. Because, you know, Michigan State loves to push the basketball, and that comes when you try to get in transition like that. Those sporadic decisions can lead to those type of turnovers. And I thought for the most part, though, last night, you know, Michigan State didn't turn the ball over. They were more so dead ball turnovers than in transition or during a play, you know. But anyway, 18 turnovers regardless. When you cough up the ball and give that ball to your opposition in an opposition like Duke, the number five team in the nation, it's not going to bode well for you. But, again, going back to what I was saying, Miles Bridges put it best. Now, I read this from the article that Graham Couch put together. He said that, look, it was just a minute and 30 stretch that we did not play well, where we just gave up the ball way too many times. Because other than that stretch of basketball, which led to an eventual 11-0 run for Duke to push that lead out, let's be real here. Michigan State was right in that game. Very competitive in that game. And for me, I have to say my X factor last night was none other than Nick Ward. Nick Ward was fantastic last night. 5 of 7, and he also had a putback dunk, which I'm still scratching my head. I'm still rubbing my chin about. I actually went back on my DVR. You know, thank goodness for technology. I went back on my DVR just to see if the ball was in the cylinder. I didn't think it was in the cylinder. Great putback dunk that would have really done glory for this team momentum-wise going down that stretch. It's waved off. Izzo laughs it off, and then Duke continues that run. And then also, another play that I'm still scratching my head and rubbing my chin about. Miles Bridges, the push-off that was clearly a flop. And I actually tweeted out last night, you know, come on now, a clear flop. And then, you know, I'm seeing, you know, guys like Rico Beard, a friend of the show. He went, you know, it's funny because Rico actually retweeted a tweet from, you know, just a random fan who said that, quote, Mike Eads takes over now in the game. Mike Eads is the referee who actually called that as a push-off on Miles Bridges. It was a horrible call. Graham Couch actually, and I retweeted Graham's tweet. He says, quote, right in front of me, I made a lot of bad calls officiating 7th grade basketball years ago. Never screwed one up that easy. I thought that was a pretty comical tweet. I mean, it was, and then, you know, Simply Marty, who's a friend of mine in the business, you know, she tweeted at me, was right in front of me. Didn't touch him, Al. Horrible call by the refs to rule an offensive foul on Miles Bridges. Total flop. And hey, when you're at Cameron Indoor, and the Duke Blue Devils are going crazy, the Dukies are going insane. I think sometimes the ref might have gotten caught up in that atmosphere and said, "Oh well, that looks like something to me." Duke basketball. So there were a few calls like that I think really stampered any momentum that Michigan State would have hoped for in that game. But at the same time, you can't turn the basketball over that many times and expect to beat the Duke Blue Devils. Overall, though, good effort. And you can start to see the light at the end of the tunnel for this team as they start to move along in the season and as they begin Big Ten play. They'll beat Oral Roberts this Saturday, folks. There's no question about that. That's a 4:30 p.m. tip time. On Saturday, which I want to throw this in there, we'll be giving away tickets to that game on Friday. Because I know my email's been flooded with a few folks that are wondering whether or not we're giving away tickets to MSU men's and women's basketball games. And heck, hey, I'm putting it on you guys because last time we did that, Isaac, we had no callers that called in, dude.
No, we did not.
Do you want to go see MSU men and women play on the hardwood? Yay, yeah, hey, just keep listening. Your time is coming this Friday, all right? And actually, the women, they play in a slate this weekend as well. We'll be giving away tickets for both of those programs. But anyway, going back to my points, you know, again, this team is so young, but they're very talented. And if you would have told me before this game that Michigan State was going to outshoot Duke as well as out-rebound Duke, I would have said, oh my goodness, the chances of Michigan State winning this game are pretty high. MSU outshot Duke 49-46%. Out-rebounded Duke 39-33. Ah, boy. But again, that stretch of basketball at the end of the second half just burned this team. I do have two legitimate questions, though, that do concern me with this team moving forward. There's got to be a go-to guy, I believe, for any successful team. Because when things get tough and when you have an upper echelon team that can challenge you on both ends of the floor like Duke, who do you turn to that can create his own offense? Now, the natural names that come to mind are Miles Bridges and Aaron Harris. But as I mentioned, Miles Bridges is seeing a lot of bodies thrown his way this year because they know how talented this young kid is. And they've been able to stifle him a little bit. Now, he's a great outside shooter, but I think for the most part, oppositions would love him taking threes than driving the basketball and cramming somebody to end up on little Bobby's poster, okay? I think they want him to shoot more. And we saw Miles Bridges shoot a lot last night, 4 of 13. That is how you slow him down, so to speak, all right? And you crowd the lane whenever he's driving. Aaron Harris, I cannot put my finger on Aaron Harris, guys, because Aaron Harris will show you flashes of how talented he is. I mean, especially at the beginning of that game, we saw Aaron slash into the hoop. We saw him knock down a few jumpers. He looked good. But it seemed like he just slows down as the game goes on. He's got to be consistent from the start of the game to the end of the game because I really do believe that Aaron Harris can be that go-to threat. He's got a great first step. How many times do we see Aaron in that first half get off the first step, go right or left, take his man to the hoop, and leave, you know, guys like Grayson Allen in the dust? Aaron Harris can do that, but he's got to be consistent in doing that. He can't mentally – I think sometimes Aaron Harris may mentally check out during the game. I don't know what that is, and I think Tom Izzo is going to work on that with him as the season goes on. And also, who is going to be the go-to guy? My number two question is, when will we see the best of Josh Langford? Because with Josh Langford, Josh, very talented kid. You know, very talented kid. I love his jump shot. I love his mid-range game. He's got the best mid-range game out of any Spartan on the roster. But Josh, with him missing some time at the very beginning of the year, he is still struggling to find his groove. I think Josh will eventually come on. I just don't know when that is going to be. You would like him to start clicking around Big Ten time because I think the 1-2 punch of Aaron Harris being a great scorer, specifically when it comes to shooting, I think Josh can really be a good complement to Aaron Harris. So those are my two questions moving forward, but it in no way, shape, or form, even though Michigan State sits at 500 right now, let's talk when March comes, because I bet you better believe that Tom Izzo is going to have this team, as I like to say, humming. All right? This team will be fine. I'm not worried, Isaac. What'd you see from last night?
Yeah, I thought this was a game that was a tale of plays, pretty much. You know, in the NBA, you can see back and forth, because the thing is, these are experienced veterans. They don't get caught up so much in the caprice of the game. They let it flow. They know they can make their plays. This was all about momentum. Duke started off that second half or a few minutes in going on an 11-0 run, and that kind of permanently relegated MSU to the Chasers. What stuck out to me was the magic number 3, because it wasn't three-point shooting, believe it or not. What it was is there were 3 freshmen on the team with 3 turnovers apiece. Cassius Winston, 2 separate times, he drives baseline, gets caught in the air. You do not jump
right
to make a pass. Shout out to Coach Allen for teaching me that in high school, but that's something that Cassius Winston should have mastered by now.
And you heard Miles Billis call him out, too. I mean, on that last one, I mean, he just, like I said, he drives baseline, He jumps up in the air and tries to throw a upheave to the front of the court, and Duke is too smart for that.
Yeah, no, come on. And then Miles Bridges, the thing is, I find it troubling if somebody's really going to heap all this blame onto Miles Bridges. What I wish in retrospect was MSU kind of pocketed Miles Bridges for the exhibition games, because you, I, and the entire world saw those and said, oh my gosh, this kid is one of the most talented freshmen ever to come through Michigan. Forget Michigan State.
Certainly.
The rest of the world, the rest of the NCAA picked up on that too, and they have been doubling him relentlessly since. So it's hard for me to totally blame Miles Bridges when he doesn't necessarily always have that second option. Just like you said, who's going to be the second scorer on this team? Aaron Harris, yes, recently he's been picking it up a little bit. He's had some big games. At the same time, though, is it enough? I'm not convinced that that's the case. And then the other freshman, Nick Ward, you mentioned he had some great plays in the post last night.
Yeah.
He also looks vulnerable. Whenever Duke came down with the double, you mentioned Matt Jones deep, but also Chase Jeter for that team was excellent last night. So MSU, they certainly showed their flashes, but the thing is, it's young. The team is young. The season is young. There's so much inexperience that's festering right now. And yes, I believe they'll mature. I believe that March will be an entirely different saga and story for this program. But the thing is, that change will need to happen. This team, as it is right now, is not good enough. It is going to be a matter of simple growth. It will happen, but they are young and they need to learn relatively quickly.
Yeah, they'll be fine. I mean, this team is so talented that they'll be fine. No, the mistakes that we're seeing right now are going to get ironed out. And again, I go back to what Tom said after the loss to Baylor in Nassau, Bahamas. After that loss, he apologized to his team and said, you know what? I don't regret who we've played this month. What I do regret when it comes to scheduling is how much preparation we have had, or the lack thereof preparation that we've had in between these games. I mean, they barely had any practice time. They barely had any film time. I mean, and with that, I mean, how do you expect a young team to grow if they're not learning from those mistakes? Because sometimes, if you don't have that preparation in between and you're just playing these back-to-back-to-back games against great talent, you don't get better. In some instances, you can get worse because you're making those same mistakes over and over and over. Two players I want to do call out before we hit our first break here. I thought Frank Jackson was fantastic. Very versatile player, Mr. Do-It-All. 5 of 6 from the floor, 1 of 2 from three-point land. He finished with 11 points. Luke Kennard, also, you know, he's leading the team in scoring right now. He went 8 of 18 last night. Didn't shoot well from the three-point line, 1 of 7. But still, you felt his presence last night. He finished with 20 points. And also Grayson Allen, I mentioned him in the headliners. Grayson Allen is a talent. I mean, one of the top 50 best players in college basketball right now. He had 24 points, had a silent, I wouldn't say silent, just kind of a ho-hum first half, and then really came on in the second. Folks, I want to take your calls. Oh, hold on. We do have comments here on our Facebook page. I want to read a comment from Benjamin Grimes, who weighs in. Benjamin, a dear friend of the show. He says, quote, there were too many bad calls during that game against Duke last night. The flopping was ridiculous last night. But we stopped going inside to Nick Ward, and they did not rebound like they did in the first half. The only problems were turnovers and not guarding the three-point line in the second half. And I do believe, I see where Benjamin is going. I see his point there. And I do believe that they did stop going to Nick Ward. And some of that had to do with the Duke defense, though. I thought Duke's defense did pick up as that game went on. But Nick Ward, man, had some moves last night that were just smooth. And he's showing you that his offensive repertoire is growing. And that was one thing that I saw when I watched Nick Ward in the Summer League. Now, again, Summer League, take with a huge bag of salt, right? I said to myself, Nick Ward has to develop a face-to-face game. He's got to get better with that jump hook, and he's got to get a better feel under the rim. And I'm starting to see that improve the more and more I watch Nick Ward. And again, the fact that he lost 23 pounds over the summer up until the start of the season also helps his mobility as well. So I like Nick Ward a lot, and I think that he can be a great complement inside, especially considering the fact that this team lost Gavin Schilling and Ben Carter before the season even began. The college football playoff rankings came out last night, folks. The final pre-rankings until this Sunday, where we will know who the top four teams are that will be competing for a national championship. Really no surprise that Alabama, Ohio State were 1-2. And we both predicted this yesterday, Isaac, that Clemson and Washington would be on the running. Now, what did surprise me, though, and I just want to give a few takeaways before we hit this first break and bring on Kristen Rasmus into the show. Michigan and Washington are in a very tight battle. Five times over the course of his post-rankings teleconference, that being selection committee, chairman, Kirby Hokut, five times over the course of his post-rankings teleconference with reporters, he mentioned either the, quote, small margin or, quote, small separation between Washington at number four and Michigan at number five. At one point, he even estimated that over the course of 2 days, the committee spent nearly 2 hours debating between the 11-1 Huskers and the 10-2 Wolverines. Like I said, folks, don't call me crazy here. I made this statement on Monday's show. Even with the loss to Ohio State, heck, even with the loss to Iowa, the committee is in love with the maize and the blue. All right? And the fact that they played Ohio State very competitive on Saturday afternoon, they passed the eye test, whether you like it or not. Whether you think it's fair or not, that the Big Ten Championship game will be taking place this weekend between Penn State and Wisconsin. But it may not mean anything because the committee may just put in Michigan anyway because they believe that with the eye test, Michigan looks better than Penn State or Wisconsin. Michigan, don't be surprised if they get in on Sunday. I would not be surprised. A bigger name, a bigger draw, a sexy team, an impossible matchup, again, between Urban Meyer and Jim Harbaugh. I mean, come on. So I wasn't surprised there, to be honest with you. And the fact that two from the Big Ten could be in the Big Ten playoff, I mean, that's I think that's a true testament to how good this conference was or is this season. Also, safe to say that the Big 12 is officially out. Little chance remain for Saturday's Oklahoma State winner finishing in the top four. Likely went out the window when Colorado moved ahead of the 9-2 Sooners for the number 8 spot last night. That's kaput. Nobody in the Big 12 is getting in. And also, Louisville's two-game skid, I believe, costed a New Year's Six berth, folks. Literally all season, we've been projecting that the Cardinals may be headed to the Orange Bowl. You've seen that a lot on many publications, right? The committee dropped 9-3 Louisville to number 13, one spot behind fellow 9-3 ACC member Florida State, which is the hottest team in the nation right now. Heck, if you're going just on the eye test, you can make an argument that Florida State can compete with anybody, any of the top four in the college football playoff right now. I mean, Florida State is just sizzling hot right now. But anyway, right now the committee is looking at Florida State, and you know what, saying, yeah, Florida State is sexier than Louisville right now. So if Clemson goes to the playoff, the Orange Bowl takes the next highest ranked ACC team, which means Louisville likely could drop to the Citrus Bowl. So that is quite the surprise to me there. So in our first break, when we come back, we will invite Kristen Rasmussen to the show. She is the first-year head coach of the Okemos High School girls basketball team. That chat and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
From the moment you wake up, through the chaos of your busy morning, Morning Edition is there with you.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Again, we just previewed, I just gave you a brief landscape when it comes to my thoughts on what took place last night on national television. The final pre-rankings of the college football playoff were released by the 12-member committee. Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Washington. That's your top four right now. You got Michigan sitting just on the outside looking in. And I also want to mention this, too. You mentioned this right as we hit that break, Isaac, but USC as well. USC is so hot right now. But what were a few of your takeaways last night when watching what the committee did?
Yeah, so I was, first off, happy to see that Washington was rewarded. I think that they should have been ranked above Michigan in the first place. I did think that that's all going to come down to the final game of the season. As I mentioned to you, how funny is it that Colorado, the team that I said early on might have jump-started Michigan season, now might bring them into the playoff with
a
win against Washington.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. Then you've also got Wisconsin. Don't be surprised if the Big Ten Championship still decides who winds up in the playoff. If Washington wins, I could easily see them catapulting over Michigan, over Washington, only if Washington loses, and into that final playoff spot, because that final game, it's so ever important if you're a champion of your conference. But overall, I thought the committee did it pretty well. I'd like to see the final rankings, of course. That's what matters. None of this really counts for anything whatsoever. It's just leading up, building up to the hype. But at the same time, it was really interesting seeing all the results last night tumble in. And I think overall, for the first time maybe this year, the committee got it right.
Yeah, and I do think that Michigan is going to get in. I just got a feeling, man.
I have a feeling.
You did nail this, Isaac, about when it comes to Colorado. Colorado, I think, is going to beat Washington this weekend.
Yeah, it's very possible.
I just something about that Colorado team. But, how ironic is that? Michigan, you know, a game that I didn't think would look that appealing. They get that win, and now it looks more credible as the year has gone on here. And if Colorado does beat Washington, you better believe they're putting in the Wolverines at that number four spot.
Well, so nice, too, just because now these teams also have a game in common for them to share and them to compare. If Washington beats this team impressively, there is no doubt that the Huskies are in over Michigan. But if the Huskies even stumble a little bit more, if they win on a fluke play, don't be surprised if the Wolverines then jump over them.
If you're the Nittany Lions, or if you're the Wisconsin Badgers, Penn State and Wisconsin, you have to feel some type of way if Michigan does get in. And I totally hear you. I hear the cries. All right. Well, let's get to our guest for this afternoon's Current Sports, Kristen Rasmussen. That's right. Okemos High School, MSU, and WNBA women's basketball player. Now, first-year head coach of the Okemos girls basketball team. Last night, we saw many teams across this great state get their respective girls basketball seasons underway. That included Okemos High School. Last night, defeating Harper Woods Chandler Park Academy 57-28. Right now, we have Kristen Rasmussen on line one. First off, Kristen, how's it feel to start the year with a dub?
Well, I can't complain about it. That's for sure. It's really nice.
I'm sure that is nice, right? 1-0 is always just gives you a good feeling as the season embarks. Now, first off, Chrisman, you know we had you on when the announcement came out that you were going to be first year head coach for the team this upcoming year. We had a great chat, and I have to know, from that time in May when we spoke up until now here at the end of November, what has the transitional process of becoming new head coach of Okemos Girls Hoops been like for you, and where did you start?
Wow, great question. So, it's been a process, and coming in as a new coach, you want to establish what you want out of the program, and I think that was the first and most important thing, is establishing that and building the relationships with the players. I find that it's really important to connect with them so that as I'm teaching them and wanting them to buy into the program, that they understand who I am and what I see them doing as part of this program.
So true. And did you guys do any bond building team activities over the summer to help in that process and building that chemistry and that relationship?
Oh, I wish I could tell you that we went on all these fabulous vacations and places. But we actually did a lot of team building in the weight room.
Right.
And by doing other activities, not just basketball, but, you know, other activities outside of the court that, could build this program. And we actually did it with the freshmen, the JV team, and the varsity team, so that everybody knows that this program is wanting to build something and that they can buy into it.
You know, anytime, Kristen, you come into a new position, one of the biggest challenges and hurdles, so to speak, can be making sure that you garner the respect of your colleagues or the players that you're coaching in your instance. What was the response like of the players when they found out you were going to be their coach, and how did you go about gaining that respect from them?
So I think at first they were probably intimidating just because of, you know, my 6'4" frame.
right. That can be a bit intimidating, yeah.
a little bit. But I think the thing that actually got them so excited about it, obviously, yes, playing in college and playing professionally, but I think it was the fact that I went to school where they are now. And it was, for them, it's like, okay, she's done something with basketball, but it all started here for her. And you know what? That could probably happen for me. Mm-hmm. So I really think it was that beginning of where basketball started for me is what they're excited about.
Right. And I'm sure they were excited when they learned about your professional basketball background. I mean, it had to be a pretty kick for them, a really cool kick for them, right?
I guarantee it is.
So for you, Kristen, I want to go to last night's game. You all defeated, again, as I mentioned, Harper Woods, Chandler Park Academy. A hefty win for you all, 57-28. What did you like and what did you didn't like from your team last night in that matchup? What wrinkles do you have to iron out as the year goes on?
Oh, wow. I think there's a couple of wrinkles, but what I will tell you is that I was so impressed by the way they came out and, you know, they took the approach that we had for the game scout and how we were going to, attack their defense and their press. They really took it to heart and they just went out there and they executed. They really did everything that I asked them to do. And what I really liked is that everybody contributed. It wasn't, you know, player 7 and 8 that got to get in just for a couple minutes. Everybody got really good playing time, and they all worked together well, which I'm very, very impressed with.
So when we watch your team this year, Kristen, now again, it's so early. You just finished game one. But what do you think the identity of your squad is? What do you think it will be like? What are you trying to mold this team to look like this year?
So I'm just going to tell you our motto for the year is we dictate. And so when we get out on the court, we're dictating what we want to do. We're not letting other teams come onto the court and dictate how we play. Mm-hmm. So that is one of the wrinkles that we're still working on, but I thought that they bought into that yesterday and came out with a statement of, we are going to dictate how the game goes. And, you know, if all of the games could be as well as they were last night, I will be one happy coach. However, I do know that in the coaching world, not the case every time, but I do have an excellent group of girls, and they are working really, really hard. And that, to me as a coach, is a win every time.
If you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with first-year head coach of the Okemos girls basketball team, Kristen Rasmussen. Again, they are coming off a game one win over Harper Woods Chandler Park Academy, 57-28 last night. Last time we had you on, Kristen, you had not met Leia Hartman just yet, and she is one of the big names that a lot of people love watching. And I believe she's a sophomore this year, right? Is that right, Kristen?
Correct. She is a sophomore.
And, you know, looking at her, I mean, she's so good. We had her on Current Sports TV earlier this year, and she's so mature, and you watch her game. I got a chance to see a few highlights last night. She can shoot the basketball. She's got a good first step. I mean, what's it like coaching a talent that's that good and so young?
You know, it's really exciting, and like you said, she understands the game very well. She plays very well. And it's just really exciting to be able to have Leia on the team. However, going by what happened last night, not only was she able to score for us, but she was playing tough defense. She was sharing the basketball. She was not scared of getting in to grab a rebound or, you know, diving on the floor. And that, to me, is really important as a player that is so talented, that she is starting to embrace the other things and aspects of the game that will help her teammates out.
Yeah, second team Class A All-State selection, Leah Hartman. She actually leads the returners for Okemos, which will try to improve on last year's win total. Five of the top eight players for Okemos are freshmen or sophomores. And with that being said, Kristen, I hear you chuckling about that. I mean, they're so good, but so young. What makes this team so talented, though? And what do you see with this team being so young that just comes with experience in when it comes to trying improving their respective games?
Yeah, so we do have five of the 11 players are sophomores and freshmen. But, you know, the leadership that we have of the returning upperclassmen is amazing. And I really think that they are just, setting the tempo of what they expect and want. And the underclassmen they're really good basketball players, and they know that they can improve, and they know that it's the team that's going to get them to where they want to be. And so I know I just keep going back to it, but it's the teamwork part of it that they're excited about, and they want to help each other out because they know it's not just a one-woman show.
Right.
And it's exciting. It really is. I mean, we are building a brand new program at Okemos, and it's exciting. It's fun. There's going to be bumps along the way where everybody has a lot of high expectations and predictions for us. But right now, it's about setting that first foundation of teamwork and working hard for others and having confidence in your teammates.
And you talk about building a new program this year, Kristen. Last year, 7-14, 7-7 in conference. How much has last year been talked about?
They haven't talked about it too much. I don't know too much about it, only their record.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that they had some good things going last year. I think I'm just fortunate enough to be in this place at this time and kind of put those pieces together. It goes back to the trust. It's trusting in their teammates, it's trusting in their coaches, and there is something special here, and I'm excited to be a part of it.
Kristen, are there a few other names other than, of course, Hartman that you think will turn a few heads this season? What are some other players that you're expecting a lot out of this year?
So I have a freshman center, Jasmine Clerkey, who excellent post move footwork. She can run the floor very well. I've got two freshman guards coming in, Leah Zaleski and Maddie Cermak. Both of them, they handle the ball well. They're excellent on defense. Have a sophomore, Bergen Robinson, who is, a knockdown shooter, but she also is, pretty feisty in the key. And those are all underclassmen, but I really think I could name every single person on my team because they bring something to the team individually that just makes us a great team as a whole. So, I've got the seniors with OK Johnson and Mac, who is just, they're just great leaders. And I really, really can't say enough about each person individually, because without all of them together, we wouldn't have been able to showcase what we have in the first game that we just played.
Very true. And I'm looking forward to seeing you guys the rest of the year, Kristen. And you guys will play a home game against Hazlitt this Friday. What do you know about Hazlitt at all?
I know that they're good. They're always a good, solid program.
Yeah.
And I know that they also have a new coach who's probably going through the same thing as I am, is trying to build a program and establish, the foundation that they want. But I think it's a great almost rivalry. We don't play them in conference, but this is a great non-conference game to have some excellent talent that's in this mid-Michigan area to play against each other. So I just know that Hazlitt's going to be ready to play, so we need to be on top of it.
Now, I want to pose this question to you, Kristen, before we get you out of here, because I know that I believe it flip-flops every year, where you either have on any given Tuesday or Friday the boys playing first and then the girls playing right after. And has it flip-flopped this year? Will you guys be playing last and the boys first this season?
You are correct, yes.
Okay, do you like that at all? And why or why not? Because I've seen mixed reactions to it. You know, a lot of people would like the girls to play first because they feel like, you know, the attendance could be better because people are waiting on that boys' game and not trickling out after the boys play. I mean, what do you think on that?
You know, really interesting take on the whole thing. But I guess personally, as a player, I think it's a no-brainer. A lot of people like to watch men play sports versus women. Mm-hmm. So, of course, having the girls play first, then you have more fans because they're coming for the boys' game. And I think it hurts a little bit to have the girls play second, only because can you imagine going and warming up and people leaving while you're preparing to play your game? You work just as hard or maybe even harder at practice than the boys team, but because you are female, people don't have an interest in it because it's not going to be as fast or there's not going to be a dunk. Well, you know, there's other things that the women's game offers that, you know, maybe isn't offered in the boys game. So, you know, I think it's hard. It's a hard pill to swallow. I know my players have talked about it as how it's almost like a disrespectful thing, but you know, at this point, I'm trying to teach them, you play for the team that's across your chest, and whether there's a million people in the stands or there's just your mom and dad, we're going to go out there and play as hard as we can. So, you know, we can't control who stays and who goes or even that we play after the boys or play before. But what we can control is how we are ready for the game and how we play. So,
right.
You know, we're just going with the flow. We're kind of, if that's the rule, we're going to go with it. And I hope we can just focus on the basketball piece and not so much who is in the stands.
Very true. That's all you can do, Kristen. And I tell you what, that old saying, right, from Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come. All right? Hey,
true.
Keep winning. You better believe there will be butts in the stands, all right?
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You got it. Kristen Rasmussen, first-year head coach for the Okemos High School girls basketball team. Kristen, thank you so much for your time, and good luck.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too. All right, let's hear our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this afternoon's current sports by talking about a possible new name that could be thrown into the MSU quarterback hat, as well as a brief chat on the Detroit Red Wings and the Detroit Pistons. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We have just about 5 minutes left in the show. We just finished up a great chat with first-year head coach of the Okemos girls basketball team, Kristen Rasmussen. Really excited to watch her team play throughout this year, especially when it comes to Leah Hartman, one of the best players that I've seen in quite some time in this area. And we actually did a feature on her. I believe that was sometime during the summer that you can view on our WKAR.org website, as well as our WKAR YouTube page. Our own Andrea Urban had put that piece together and got a lot of hits on that. A very well done piece. Malik Zaire, according to Irish Illustrated, Notre Dame quarterback Malik Zaire is expected to ask for his release from the program today so he can pursue a graduate transfer. And one of the places on his list is Michigan State University. First off, Isaac, are you surprised that MSU is in the running? And what are the chances that you think he will come to Michigan State, considering the fact that you have Brian Lewerke, Damian Terry, and Messiah DeWeaver in this whole quarterback competition mix for next season?
I'd say the chances of this actually going through, coming to MSU, are very slim still. The thing is, it's a short list. It's a list of a bunch of schools that MSU was mentioned in. God knows who the source is even for this. So, yeah, I'm pretty surprised that MSU was even mentioned, because MSU usually isn't even a factor in most of the transfer sagas that we see across schools. However, let me just preface this by saying, if you can get Malik Zaire, not that the quarterback position is not set with Brian Lewerke for the next few years, I think, mm-hmm. and of course, Messiah DeWeaver is one hell of a prospect, But if you can get Malik Zaire, you snag him. That's the thing. This guy is so talented. He single-handedly dismantled an LSU defense 2 years ago. I thought he would get that starting job until he was faced with injury and eventually overcoming the ranks. And I think Zaire is just a stud. I think MSU should entirely go after him. And as a graduate transfer, you've got 1 year of the guy. You're not impeding the progress of some of the younger players. If you get him, go for it.
I agree. And of course, Zaire lost out that quarterback battle to Notre Dame's own Deshaun Kaiser. And I like what Zaire brings to the table. And I really do believe that if he does come here, I would be hard pressed to think that he does not beat out the other three, even though I haven't seen much of Messiah DeWeaver. With a name like that, you got to be good,
Messiah.
Right? So only time will tell there. All right. The Detroit Pistons. I want to just mention them briefly here because the Pistons are on a bit of a roll right now. You know, this has been an interesting year for the Pistons thus far. And again, it's so early in the year. But, you know, the Pistons have struggled when it comes to winning on the road. Now, they bounced back from a defeat to the Thunder on Saturday. Good road win last night over a pretty solid Charlotte Hornets team. 112-89 the final there. Tobias Harris, he led the way with 24 points. He shot 9 of 12 from the floor. And the Pistons have now won 3 of the last 4. I also want to call out Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Well, I believe, you talk about X factors for the team, I believe that KCP is the X factor. He's the best guard defender on the team, Isaac. And they go as far as KCP goes on any given night. Now, I'm no slight to Andre Drummond. I love Andre Drummond. He's the franchise player. When it comes to guard play, KCP makes it happen, and especially so since Reggie Jackson is out.
Well, and when Andre Drummond was ejected last night, the game was neck and neck.
Exactly.
It was not Andre Drummond who pushed that team forward, who propelled them last night. You're right, this team goes as KCP goes. More importantly, though, for this team, looking in the broader spectrum of things, you've got Reggie Jackson finally back in practice. When he returns, this is a whole different animal.
So true. And the Pistons got to shoot better from three-point range. And you look at KCP, he scored 8 points in the last 2 minutes and 21 seconds of that game. Also, 4 of 8 from the three-point line. He's shooting 37.6%, which will be a career high if that trend continues. All right, folks. Well, that will do it for this afternoon's Current Sports. Thanks to Kristen Rasmussen for joining us here on the show today. Also, Kamen Kessler and Ashley Gibbert for helping out as well. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care and be easy, people.